Chapter 74. I insisted on packaging up Zach's body into the cherry red Tesla Roadster convertible. He looks so peaceful there, and I'm positive it's exactly the way he'd have wanted to leave the mortal plane, riding a kick-ass car through space. I plan on burying him in it, too. I'm also positive that this decision has left my fellow crew members saying to themselves, "Larson put that nut in charge? What could be worse?" Well, as it turns out, plenty. It turns out Daniel's little turn-off-all-the-lights-on-the-way-out trick has left us with zero fuel, zero water, no food production capability, no farming equipment or plants, a broken water oxygen processor, and only 24 hours of reserve oxygen in backup tanks. Even if we could figure out how to retrofit the fuel system to accommodate this new element thing, either 1. We run out of oxygen before we can complete something workable here on Mars, or 2. We run out of oxygen if we leave now and try to make it home. Basically, there is no scenario where we don't die clutching our throats, gasping for those last few molecules of breathable air. A pleasant thought. We're sitting around the dining table with old school paper and markers, scribbling aimlessly like a kindergarten class without a teacher. I keep drawing the ship's two fuel tanks and lots of question marks. I glance over to Aurora. She's drawing a Care Bear. That's helpful. I used to draw them when I was 5. It's soothing. Hey, it's better than that explosion of kindergarten creativity you've got going on. What is that? Sausage links? No, dummy. It's the fuel tank. Explosion. Did she just say explosion? Aurora, you're a genius. What? That I knew you were drawing sausage links? Or my Care Bear? Okay, listen up, guys. We've got two tanks. The bottom one here reserved for methane and the top one here for oxygen. Connected, I suppose, like sausage links. The contents are mixed to create the fuel we used to get here. Now, if we can use the bottom tank for the new fuel, this element, God, we need a name for that, and it doesn't need to be mixed with anything, we can isolate the top tank to store the water to fuel the backup oxygen electrolysis generator. Drew sighs. To store what water? Daniel's dumped everything. We have no water. Not yet. That's where the bomb comes in. Aurora laughs. Okay, I was on the fence when you strapped Larson into the convertible, but now it's official. You have space dementia. Somebody, lock her in the back cabin with Daniels. Drew curls his lip into the beginning of a smile. No. That large ice patch, north about 3 miles. Boom. We gather and store the ice in the top fuel tank. 10 points for red team. Exactly. And thank you. I'm sure those points will come in handy as we narrowly escape death to get the hell off Mars. Skylar raises her hand. But we don't have a bomb. No explosives. Drew grabs the flask in the middle of the table, nods to me, and hands it to her. Now we do. And so the next 12 hours become a mad rush to solve our 4 big problems. Number 1, water. First, we create a bomb using just a wee bit of Marsonium. That's the name we've given the new element, which is actually a gas, but exists here on Mars in a liquid compound with methane, carbon, and hydrogen. It's a crude bomb, like a stick of dynamite from an ancient Western movie. It looks ridiculous, taped together with this and that. Electronics thrown together in an hour. But according to Martha, it should do the trick. Second, we drive out to the ice patch with the bomb and see what happens. Drew and Skylar have volunteered for this task, possibly to spend their last possible alone time together, saying weepy, smoochy goodbyes, whatever. I'm just kind of glad it's them and not me. Aurora and I watch through the open bay door as they get smaller and smaller into the distance on the rover. You think they really love each other? Hell no. In case you haven't noticed, it's pretty slim pickings here on Mars. Larson's, well, you know, and Daniel's, I mean, come on. So Drew starts looking pretty attractive by default. I don't know. He'd have to be the last man on. Oh, right. I point. Hey, here they come. Drew and Skylar are racing back in the rover like a bat out of hell, trying to outrun the detonation. And then, wow, a light, brighter than any I've ever seen, blinds us, and the shockwave throws us back on our asses. Clink, 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 clink. What the hell is that sound? Paper, what the hell is going on? I have to laugh. We're witnessing yet another first. It's a hailstorm. On Mars. Chunks of ice, from teeny pebble size to spare tire size, are clanking against the hull of the High Heaven. Drew and Skylar are dodging the larger chunks on their way back, reminding me of the way my mother drives. There is enough ice out in that field right now to fill every skating rink in America. Okay, first problem solved. Water. Number 2. Fuel. Thank God for Martha. While Drew and Skylar, I almost caught myself saying Drewler, are out collecting the ice and hauling it aboard, Martha and I are working on the adjustments to the fuel systems, and she's doing most of the work. We will have to separate the marsonium from the other elements in the compound. I will guide you through the process using the thermal electric distillation unit. You're the best, Martha. You are assisting. Martha's all business as usual, but I can't help it. I'm always trying to see if there's more under the hood. Do you miss him? If by miss you mean yearn for a person's presence after an absence, no, I do not miss anything or anyone. Even Zach? There's a pause. I don't know if I imagine these things, continually anthropomorphizing Martha, projecting humanity and personality onto her, but it feels like a pause to me. No. Really? Come on. You will find the main burner in that left compartment. Be careful, Paper, to keep the marsonium far away from combustion at this point, or you may die in a fiery explosion. But you'd miss me, right? No. Fine. I'm pissed. I mean, Martha's super intelligent, but she can't even throw me a bone and say yes. We work on the distillation process, then on releasing the gas into the bottom tank, then on the fuel line adjustments. We work in silence. When we're done and everything's working and ready, I imagine she feels guilty because she says, Paper, may I tell you about my programming? Whatever, I guess. At my level of calculation ability, approaching but still very far from what you call consciousness, there is an effect. With no word for it yet, an effect that results from our very similar thought processes, humans and I. The people I work with become familiar, identifiable, and relatable in a unique way. A file, if you will, is created, not with factual details about the person, but with more subjective, subtle information. It would be difficult for me to even show you this information in a way that would make sense. When that person ceases to work with me, the file is no longer needed, so I delete it. In its place, there is a temporary void. Aw, she does miss him. A smile to myself, and a tear makes its way down to my chin. Number 3, oxygen. The backup oxygen electrolysis generator is working fine. I guess Daniels only had so much time to sabotage as much of the voyage as possible. He couldn't think of everything. So we fill the top tank with ice, using up 4 precious hours, melt the water, retrofit a connection from the generator down to the tank, start up the generator, cross our fingers, and it works. Huh, it's funny. I'm so used to things going wrong, and now we've got 3 things working in a row. I look up, to heaven, I guess, thinking the preposterous thought that maybe Larson is looking down on us, helping us out, and I fall to my knees and start bawling. Aurora bends down next to me. Hey, Paper, it worked. I know, I just, is he really gone? Wow, you really connected with him, huh? He was a friend. No, like family, almost. My heart hurts, Aurora. I keep expecting him to jump out like it was all a trick and yell, fun, fun, fun. And that's the real ending to your going to Mars. And we all have a good laugh, and he breaks some kind of ratings record, and he gets a ticker tape parade down Broadway. Or he comes out and says, strike five. Did you know he had no idea how many strikes there were in baseball? Aurora. Really? Not exactly a fan of the ball with bases game. It's worse than watching golf. I'm thinking three, though. Yes, it's three strikes. Like, three strikes and you're out. It's a metaphor for running out of luck. So how many strikes have we got? Are we running out? Actually, if we can solve the last problem, it's a home run. What's a home run?